Welcome back to Biff, a podcast about superhero TV shows, movies, and the weather. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined, as always, by my fantastic time travel faring crew. John Moltz is here. Hi, John.
I regret to inform you that this organization has been infiltrated by sleeper agents.
No, you don't say.
I'm very sleepy.
Guy English is also here. Hi, Guy.
Having cables that come out of your fingernails seems like a painful little mod to have.
I don't think they feel pain though.
When Apple introduces the inevitable cables that come out of your fingertips, you're gonna be all over that.
I'm not allowed to disclose
the arm based cables that come out of your fingertips.
Now we're getting a little too close to when I'm definitely not allowed to talk about.
Guy, blink twice if you are a Chronicom.
Yeah, blink twice on a podcast. Yeah. That is
if you're a Chronicom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Also, happy Pride, everybody.
Yay!
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a crappy time.
It kind of is, yeah, right? You know, it's too bad, but...
It is
what it is, right?
It is what it is, and I think we should...
try and celebrate at the same time.
Exactly. Celebrate the superheroes at Stonewall and all along the line. Managed to change the world for the better, I believe. So, Congrats to my brothers and sisters out there. And anything in between, because it's all cool. We love you. Anyway, that's it. I didn't want to forget it. That's all.
That's good.
We are here this week to discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 7, Episode 3, Alien Commies from the Future. As you know, it's rare that a show is as good as its title, and this one, they kind of nail it. I think Mr. Moltz is our designated Pinko Scum recapper this week.
You're correct, sir. So the Zephyr arrives in 1955 and drops suddenly from the air, surprising the heck out of some kids making out. They soon realize they materialized over Area 51. Stop it, Siri. Which just happens to be a S.H.I.E.L.D. base. The Chronicoms realize the team is following in their wake, and we are introduced, I believe, right to Sybil, who is their predictor, and told that they've already sent in Chronicoms to infiltrate something, which has something to do with Helios. Whatever that is, we don't know yet. Mac lays down the law with Daisy and Deke after they went off book in the last episode. Coulson says that the base is where S.H.I.E.L.D. is developing Helios, an ion fusion reactor, which Deke says in the future is used as a weapon to destroy big ships, and big ships just like the Zephyr. The team stakes out a diner where Yo-Yo tells Mac about her speed troubles, and Coulson and Daisy discuss May's weirdness. In comes their Mark, who is a DOD suit named Sharp, who they proceed to kidnap. May, meanwhile, is still robotic. Coulson has stolen this guy's identity to infiltrate the base, and Simmons is posing as none other than Peggy Carter. They get an intro to the lab where they're working on some devices, including Chekhov's EMP. Coulson and Simmons are intent on interrogating the staff to find out who the Chronicoms are. They learn that there's a test of Helios that day. Mac and Yo-Yo try to interrogate Sharp, who turns out to be harder to crack and super racist. Coulson and Simmons have some fun with their interrogations. Meanwhile, the Chief shows up. Turns out the Chief is Daniel Souza, Peggy's old flame. So this is going to be dicey. Deke lets Daisy know he's different than he used to be and doesn't appreciate her pushing him to kill Malik. They realize from the contents of Sharp's briefcase who the Chief is as Sousa walks in on Simmons. She soon realizes who he is and that the jig is up. He takes Simmons and Coulson into custody. May also had no luck with Sharp, so they send in the white guy, Deke, who kind of accidentally learns that Helios doesn't work because there's nothing powerful enough to run it. Daisy poses as a CIA agent and talks to Sousa, who reveals that he knows S.H.I.E.L.D. has been infiltrated by sleeper agents. She gets him to take her to Coulson and Simmons. The team realizes the Chronicoms will use their own power out of their Chronicom bodies to power up Helios and blow up the visiting S.H.I.E.L.D. dignitaries, thereby destroying S.H.I.E.L.D. in the lab. A Chronicom is overriding the Helios mainframe or something, whatever she was doing. Yo-Yo and May go in dressed as pilots. They throw in a smoke grenade to smoke out the Chronicom. Alarms go off, and Coulson locks Sousa in the cell. May has a panic attack in the smoke, and Yo-Yo can't use her powers, so the Chronicom gets away. Helios is now active, and May and Yo-Yo chase the Chronicom to the bomb. Sharp manages to untie himself and sees the Zephyr, giving Mac the opportunity to give him a well-deserved punch in the face. The Chronicom kills the Helios guards and jacks herself into the power. May and Yo-Yo show up and fight, but they're not doing so well. Simmons works on upgrading the EMP. Another Chronicom comes in, and Coulson drags him out in the hall where we get another fight. Sousa shows up and gets in the middle of it before the EMP goes off. The Chronicom self-destructs, and Coulson shuts down. Close up on Coulson, and there's a little sparkly thing that goes on in his eyes before they go black and white. They dump Sharp in the desert and hover over him in the Quinjet and give him an ominous warning from the aliens that had abducted him about probing.
And I'm pretty sure they were communists from the future.
I love that guy. It's Michael Gaston.
That's who he is. Okay.
Like that guy. He's just been everywhere.
Yeah. As soon as I saw him, I literally, my note says, Gerald Sharp, DOD, parentheses, AKA that guy.
Yeah, he's that guy. He really is. Like I'm scrolling through his IMDb right now on my phone, and pick a show. He's been on it.
Okay.
There's like Mad Men, 24, Saving Grace, Fringe.
Oh, he seems like, yeah, Mad Men would be
just everything. Yeah. Mrs. Right. Maisel, Jack Ryan, Bones, you know, SVU, okay. Blind Spot, like pretty much everything.
West Wing.
Yeah, I've definitely seen him a bunch.
Yeah.
I did not recognize him, but.
Well, I'll take your word for it.
But yeah, it's probably just that kind of face.
He's like a little older now. He's a character actor, right? He's a real character actor, and he nails it. And he's great. He was so fun in this episode. I love the way that he like just looks behind his back and then goes back to gnawing on his. Yeah. his ropes.
Yep. That was great. His bit where he's like cracking it first and then he's like, are you kidding? I wrote the book on interrogation.
Yeah.
So many good lines in this episode too. Yeah. Like my personal favorite was, you know, Coulson saying, well, we know Area 51 was a SHIELD base. And Daisy's like, we do? All the areas were, and then Daisy has that moment of wow, conspiracy what, me was
what
so
are the
right.
Other areas?
There are areas 1 through 50.
Are there areas 1 through? I mean, I guess
don't think that's true.
I don't.
No,
but I love the callback to Daisy season one. Daisy,
yeah,
as be like the conspiracy theorist.
She was so much more right than.
You know, I love both Simmons and Peggy, so seeing Simmons impersonate Peggy was just a real fantastic moment.
The way she takes her glasses off, I was like, that's weird. Like, just she doesn't do that. Like, that's not within her character.
Right.
Sorry. This is when they're getting questioned by the guard and asked for their...
She's my boss, yeah.
And she pulls her glasses off. I'm like, that's a... weird cocky move for her,
but I love, you know, there's
as soon as like Margaret Carter comes up on that card, I'm like, oh, perfect.
I didn't even get a chance to read it. Like I just
I had to go back and pause it to like actually
having too much fun, Peggy. And I enjoyed all the little bits with her, including, you know, when the scientist is telling the joke to her in German when Sousa comes in about like Heisenberg and the uncertainty principle. And there's just like a whole bunch of great, the scene where Sousa's like, that British accent was so fake.
Yeah, that was good.
You should tell her that. Yeah.
That seems like a good idea.
All of that is fantastic. And just that scene, as you mentioned, with Coulson and Simmons interrogating each of the scientists, especially the first shot where they're like, any one of them could be a Chronicom. Well, that now you're just engaging in stereotyping.
The various tactics were so delightful.
They were hilarious. It was John Wayne, bit overrated.
just repeatedly saying moist.
I loved it so much.
And then he does eventually get to the Void Kampf.
The Blade Runner.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I immediately thought about the Void Kampf test.
I've always wanted to try this one.
They didn't do it, but eventually it's like, okay, just because I really want to do this at one point in my life.
Also, there are good ones off camera too, like the first one on the bus when it cuts over there. It's like, you say you like Ike, but we all like Ike, but do you love him?
Yeah, right. And I love how the Void Kampf, like the turtle flipped on its back, just really upsets that poor woman.
Well, it would, like, right? Like, why would somebody be like, why would somebody say that?
No. Just some guy comes on a bus and asks you, like, okay, so you're murdering a turtle slowly. How do you feel? Yeah,
you're basically a sadist. What is
everything? Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Everything with the racist sharp,
yeah.
Like, and then eventually sending Deke in, and Deke is like, "Wait, is it because of?" And they like points to his face, stupid white privilege, and. And then, like, you know, when he comes in, Sharp's like, they've sent the person who's really in charge. And Deke's like, gosh, you just go right to that, don't you? Like, all of that, very funny. Yeah.
I love the diner scene. It was great.
Yeah.
Mac looks amazing in 50s outfits.
Mac looks amazing in everything. Come on.
He's very handsome.
I mean, all these people.
Yes, they all look super good.
Yeah, I think I just noted it because I pressed play, and I think he's probably the first person on screen or something. And then it goes to Daisy with that 50s hairstyle that she's got going. I'm like, yeah, also a beautiful person. And then it cuts to Coulson sitting in a booth, and he's got suspenders on. And all I'm thinking is, like, you should just wear suspenders all the time. Like, it's this show is so fun. Everybody looks great, everybody looks like they're having a good time.
A lot of the subtext for this show is very obviously very relevant right now,
right? Exactly. And it's funny when it was written too, right? Like, this was this all came out last year. It's not to say that wasn't
it was a problem last year.
Not, that's not what I'm saying. That's exactly
I know that, but it's
so much more resonant in the present moment than I think they even intended it to be. Right. Like the bit where they, you know, Coulson's waxing rhapsodic about the dawn of the space age and all of that. Yeah. And then Daisy points out that they've got the segregated bathrooms. And he's like,
which is like last week. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like my Twitter stream last week is all like, oh, my gosh, look at this great rocket launch. And like, oh, my gosh, look what's going on in the country.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I really loved it. That's where I was trying to go with that diner scene. The waitress sort of just throws down the plate of fries.
Does not approve.
Yep.
Does not approve that Mac and, is it Yo-Yo?
Hanging out.
Right. It is, there's like a couple of lines there that landed. They always would have landed, but man, they landed a lot harder these days. I'll tell you that, you know, it's like, man, we really haven't.
Oh yeah,
that much.
Right. I mean, there's the bit where Daisy describes Malik as like the Grand Wizard of Hydra. And she's like, Grand Wizard sounds cool. It's not.
It's not.
Yeah, yeah. It does sound cool if you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Right,
what
which Deke does not, obviously, right? Right?
Yeah. No, but yes. Come on. Yes, definitely not. It is the J.R.R. Tolkien way of sounding cool, like a badass. It is incredibly childish to be like, I'm a grand wizard. It's like, shut up, you idiot.
I think
you're just dumb. Like, you're dumb on the face of it.
What's great
about... sound cool? It sounds cool to a kid like Deke. It does not sound cool to anybody who's, you know...
Well, right. What's also good about this, I think, is it's a great reminder of how diverse this group of characters are too, right? Yes. Like, you know, we've very few, what, like, this is a cast that is not predominantly white or predominantly white dudes even, right? Like, you know,
well, there's still more let's see, or about the same, I guess, right? Because there's three
we haven't seen Fitz at all this season, which is why.
which yeah. I think this year you have to.
Well, and Fitz, we haven't seen this season yet.
And we haven't seen Fitz, that's true.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I was thinking particularly of our group in this episode, right, where we have May and Yo-Yo and Daisy and Mac and, you know, Simmons. And then it's really just Deke and Coulson, which I, you know, again, I think in general, this show has always done a pretty good job of having a very diverse cast, especially after the first season.
Right.
I think this was there's a lot of great stuff in that. Good fight scenes. I'm kind of
kidding. The fight scene with Coulson and the Chronicon was particularly
that was good, especially when Susan,
because you get a much different, like, you get an added feature, which is like sort of gears grinding.
Yeah, he's alarmingly strong.
I love that line. He's alarmingly strong. I keep forgetting that.
Keep forgetting. Yeah.
I love it. I love it so much.
And I love that the EMP knocked them both out, because as soon as they turned it on, I was thinking to myself, wait a second, Coulson's a robot now. That can't be good.
Yep. I love it. It's perfect. I love the way they handled Sousa, too.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they did a good job. I thought he was consistent with his character on... what's the name of the show?
Agent, I think the one thing I would say is I think he should look a little bit older than he does.
They gray his temples a little bit.
I think they could have gone further, but it's
I mean, it's only, I think they said it's 8 years after the events of Agent Carter.
Yeah, I guess that's probably, is that?
And frankly, when did Agent Carter air?
That's true. Maybe it was. I mean,
yeah.
Well, maybe the guy just doesn't age. I mean,
2015 to 2016. So 4 years ago. So yeah, I mean, they grade his temples a little bit. He also aged 4 years in real life. So, you know, God, did that really only air 4 years ago? God, that show's so good.
It seems like a lot longer ago.
It does seem like a lot longer.
Yesterday was 4 years ago. I don't know.
2020. Yeah. In 2020 years, it was ages ago.
Still a shame that show had another 3 or 4 seasons left in it. Easy.
It did. But I think, like, some of the best shows, you know, burn bright and burn out fast.
I think I had read a bunch of things that said that he was not who she goes on to marry. They end up as a couple at the end of that show. But clearly in this, they have since split up.
Yes,
because he was in the war and he did get wounded but he wasn't apparently in the same regiment that Cap saved, so he's not the person that she's referring to in Winter Soldier when he's watching the movie in the Smithsonian.
Gotcha. Yeah, and we don't also, depending on how much you want to take the events of Endgame into this, you know. Technically,
yeah, right.
Technically, he goes, you know, Steve goes back. So,
well, except, okay, so they could, they could be in that timeline. I suppose that's possible.
There's really no way to know one way or the other.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
You're making me dizzy. I don't care.
Yeah. Plus, this is also time travel, right?
We've
introduced
like
two separate methodologies of time travel. So,
yeah.
Right. I just, you know, and I think they make the right choice here is that they, issue making up rules for time travel and that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah.
In favor having character moments.
Yeah.
Sure. And that's what the show's about.
Want, and that's fine. Yeah. You know? And can you go back and pick it all apart? Sure.
Whatever. Oh, I mean, I don't think
you don't do it in the cinema.
We're not really picking it apart. We're just having a friendly discussion.
I think it holds, I mean, at least right now, it holds up. It holds up better than, you know, last season where they didn't mention the events of Endgame at all.
Oh yeah, but, no. I mean, they do.
That's
pretty.
I mean, that bothers me a little bit. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, I know. I think you're like, weirdly fixated on it, but I
am a little weird. Well, you know, it's not the only thing.
Well, do tell.
Speaking of things that I'm fixated on, one of the things that I enjoyed about this episode was when May suggests going back in there to talk to him again, and Max says violence is not an option, which I appreciated since they tortured that Chronicom.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I guess he's a robot. It doesn't matter, but still.
I did like that when they feel in pointing later, like, isn't she still an unfeeling killbot? Well, she's fighting a robot, so that might be what we need. And it was good because so I'm intrigued with both where they're going with her and Yo-Yo, because this week they showed us, I think for me, the big question going in with May was, is it really May, right? Like, or is it something inhabiting May? But this week she seemed more like herself than in the the conversation she has with Yo-Yo, where she's talking about like pilots being women, etc., and like how they towed the training aircraft and all that jazz. Like, that feels like stuff that May would know about. And then when she actually does have a response, like she has her panic attack, and you realize, okay, it really is
feelings.
It really is her. It's just something. Maybe it's just more of a psychological repercussion to her.
Yeah, I mean, maybe she basically died.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
She did die. So
Maybe that's her post-traumatic stress response. It's like, okay, I'm just gonna go revert back to being mission-focused robot. Like, I'm just going to get it done. And specifically, though, it kicked in when people were getting gassed and sort of dying all around her. She managed to fight the baddie Kronikop without, you know, having a panic attack. So it's interesting. I'm not sure what
the gas was about, right? Because there wasn't really gas involved when she got killed,
right? That's what I'm trying to think.
I watched
about
some of that today, and she got stabbed,
right? Yeah, no, I think it was a reaction to the people around her perhaps being under attack or something like that. It's unclear. I think we'll, you know, obviously, I'm sure they'll continue to unpack that. This week, we got a better look
So wait, so I don't think it's the gas. I do think it's the people. And the fact that it is about the people makes it less likely that she's a robot, I guess, in some way.
Yeah. Well, she had an emotional response. She's not she's clearly not a chronic.
She certainly has an empathetic response to them.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, indicative that she's basically who we think she is. She's still herself.
Right. There's just something going on there with her. We don't know. Right. I was going to say, we also get a better look at Yo-Yo, because we actually get this thing where she tries to use her powers. Mm-hmm. And I think they made it even more explicit this time, like that it wasn't... Last week, it seemed like things slowed down and she was like maybe thinking about it and deciding not to. This time, it seemed like she really tried to and could not. Like, they use the whole little effect and show her sort of like jitter slightly, and it just doesn't work.
Well, they use the sound to great effect as well, because it starts up like that sound of her zooming or the music or something like that. I forget if it's an actual sound or if it's music, but
then it
goes.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So it's certainly
like when the Falcon wants to jump into that suit.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
We've all had days like that.
It just gets like a clunky engine sound.
The title card is great today, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
In this episode.
Yeah, I like that. The very vintage 1950s, like sci-fi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alien invasion. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I thought that was great. I thought that was fantastic. Also, once again, costuming, sets, location shooting, everything on point. This looks expensive and great.
Makeup, hairdressing, everything.
Just the whole thing. Like,
every department killed it.
You know,
I really think they did.
It's funny, too, when you look at this with a show that, you know, when it has 13 episodes in a season, as opposed to, you know, in the previous seasons when it's often had 22, it feels like they spent a lot more money on each individual episode. Like, it just looks really, really good. And like, you know, we talked about that in the 1930s. Exactly. They're not in a bunker. They are in a bunker for part of it, but.
Well, part of it, but still.
But
it's
still
a new bunker.
All the location shooting and stuff in the desert and all that, like, you know, it's California, I realize, so it's a little more plausible, but still, it looks great. It looks high quality.
Yeah. It does. Yeah. It really, really does. Yeah. They did it. They keep impressing me. Show after show. Or episode after episode on the show that I just keep getting impressed, which I'm glad. I know this is the last season. I'm sort of sad about that because I could watch this show for supernatural levels of watching.
I would watch 10 more seasons of this show.
But yeah, I know. See, yeah,
it started to suck. But
when you find a good thing, you kind of stick with it.
But John's like probably the truest believer in this show.
I think I am. You know, like possibly anywhere.
Super fan.
Yeah, maybe anywhere. Yeah. Anyway, I just love that they were being given the budget and the freedom to go out the way that they deserve to go out, which is on top, and they seem to be killing it.
Agreed. Let's see what else was on my list here. I really love that we mentioned, John, in the recap, the scene where Mac gets to deck him, deck Sharp. And he says, "I can explain," and then he punches him, and then just goes, "Just rather not."
I love that so much.
Very good.
That guy so deserved a punch in the face too.
Yep. Like, yep. I knew he was going to hit him, but the line delivery was just, you know,
right.
Totally nailed it.
Yeah, we're like what, 3-4 episodes into the season? What are we?
Three episodes
into the season, and Mac has been treated in racist ways the entire time.
Right.
And finally he's like, okay, I get to punch a racist. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to go for it, and bless him for it. That was awesome. I love that he just decks him and is like, you know what? I just couldn't be bothered to explain it to him.
Deke trying to explain the time drifting via Days of Thunder. When did he have time to watch that? I don't know. I guess when he was in the present.
I don't know about that either.
Why would that be in your top 100 list of movies? You know, if you came from the future and you're like, oh man, I finally get to watch all those great movies that I didn't have access to when I lived in like a dystopic future on a space station. Why would Days of Thunder be on that list?
Well, it's because isn't that Tom Cruise?
It is. But Top Gun, fine. Mission Impossible series, sure. Minority Report, you would laugh at it because you're from the future. But
all I'm saying
Days of Thunder,
due to his tight association with Scientology, that we know aliens are involved with Tom Cruise's career.
Yeah,
so.
But the Kree were still showing
that film.
Exactly, the Kree were showing that film.
Oh God, at least show them a good Tom Cruise movie.
No, they're all good.
Sorry.
That's the Kree's belief. I just made fun of him, but I swear to God, I will watch pretty much any Tom Cruise movie.
I watch most of them, yeah.
Yeah, his personal stuff notwithstanding, I agree. He is he's a very good movie star. Like he is.
Yeah. And I respect his willingness to do crazy stunt stuff too. I mean, he thinks he's invincible, but whatever. It ends up working.
He also has a surprisingly good sense of humor about himself. Like, if you've ever seen the bits where he has Ben Stiller playing, there's one. So Ben Stiller played him on like the Celebrity Jeopardy on SNL at one point. And then there was during one of the promos for one of the Mission Impossible movies, they did a whole long thing where he is is Tom Cruise's stunt double. But he also has changed his name to Tom Cruise. And it's very funny. It's very funny. And again, like it shows a certain willingness to not take himself too seriously, which is sometimes hard to reconcile with some of the things that he believes in. But okay. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I have a complex feeling about him. I admire him in a lot of ways. And in some ways, I'm like, what the hell, man? That's not cool.
Yeah. But at least we can agree that he's not like, you know, I feel like they're, you know, Mel Gibson, like, is someone who past that, right? Like that.
Oh,
just
no,
beyond
no. Mel
the pale.
Gibson. Mel Gibson is a bag of dirt. That guy is just the worst.
We can all agree that.
Yeah. I don't put Cruz in the same way. Obviously some quibbles, I suppose, and some serious concerns about Church of Scientology, but not a Mel Gibson, who is 100% not good.
you heard it here first.
Yeah, I don't. Hey, welcome to the social justice superhero podcast that you all wanted to be part of.
If you're surprised by that, this must be your first episode.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I mean, we did start
superheroes
off talking
are literally
about all
the definition of social justice.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And yeah. We did start off talking about Oliver Queen, who is, if anybody in comics, is the...
Oh, yeah, true. The sort of
social
the poster child
justice warrior. Yeah, yeah. He will stick you with an arrow in the face if you, you know. So,
especially,
anyway,
yeah.
Little bit far afield.
Yeah. Any other things you guys want to jump on, or should we do a ritual?
Let's do the ritual, since you remember this week.
I always remember. I don't know what you're talking about. Go back and listen to any episode. You won't hear me not remember.
Yeah.
So I edit every... No, I didn't edit
Revisionist
that.
Revisionist historian, Dan.
History is written by those who edit the podcast, my friend.
That's what we need more of, is revisionist
I didn't
historians.
Like, did he edit it out?
No, I didn't. You know what?
No, he didn't.
You know
no,
what Trump's...
Because I listened, actually.
You know what I Trump's... Didn't. You know what Trump's, like, not looking like an idiot? Laziness. I'm far more willing to just be like, nah, I don't want to edit that, than to actually go back and try to make myself sound less stupid.
You didn't sound stupid. Whatever. It was funny. Whatever. We made a little bit out of it. I'm sorry I brought it up, but what I'm not sorry to bring up is that, guess what? This is a biff.
What?
I know.
How could you?
I know. I think it's
just
a level...
coming out and saying it.
I think it's a level 3 biff.
Ooh, level 3 biff. Okay.
Yeah. Which is, I believe, what I gave the last one. I don't keep track of this stuff. But, again, I think they can do better, and they will do better. I'm excited. I saw the preview for next week, which appears to be all black and white, and I'm excited for that, and I want to leave a little bit of room to give that one a giant high five. This was a great episode, a great use of the characters. I particularly loved the way that they addressed the inequality of being a person of color at the time, without sort of, you know, having to let the whole story revolve around that. I love the costumes. I love the look of it. I love the feel of it. I just thought it was just a terrific and very, very fun episode of TV to watch. So definitely a bit for me.
John?
I was going to make a joke about it being an Alex, but I'm not going to do that. It's definitely a biff. And I just, again, I think it's so great how they managed to, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if accidentally is really the right word, but they got what's going on right now into an episode that was filmed a year ago. And that's just wonderful. And I think it's I don't know these people, but I can tell by a lot of the writing in this show that they care about issues like this, that they care about what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
And they are great at writing things in to this show that make, you know, that resonate to what's going on in the world. And, you know, a lot of it is subtle, and some of it's much less subtle, but it's all great. And really well done, and that's one of the things I really appreciate about this show, and it shows up in this episode. So I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you guys. Unsurprisingly, rounding it out as an alien biff from the future. No, it's great. I think, you know, it's hard. I think we'd all agree. It's sometimes hard to take notes in this show when you just want to sit back and enjoy it and not be analyzing everything and trying to think about how am I going to recap this later? Because it's just a fun ride. And especially I'm loving the time travel thing this year. It really is so much fun to explore all these different eras with these characters. And it does give an interesting window into the whole, you know, into the culture and the problems and the challenges faced by our characters, that some of which are these systemic things that are still not fixed, right? Even in the present day. And it's just it manages to be both entertaining and, as you were saying, kind of meaningful in the things that it's discussing without taking away from the entertainment value of it either. So yeah, overall, I mean, they managed to just kind of hit this thing out of the park, and like Guy said, like, you know, I hate to keep giving things like the top rating because it feels like then there's no room to go from there except down. But I really do stack this up there. So far, this season has been, I would put this season up there with the Framework season so far, just in terms of pure enjoyment and like not quite like not knowing what's going to happen next. And getting to spend all these times with these characters and all of that. So really enjoying it. Really just super looking forward to next week's episode. As I mentioned to you guys when I watched the promo, like not only is it in black and white, but it seems like it's kind of a like literal throwback to movies of the like the 40s and 50s, like classic sort of noir. And it just
and also gets into major plot points from the MCU.
Yeah, so you know, that's just for me, that is like right in my wheelhouse, basically. I love classic film stuff like that. So it looks like they've decided to have some fun with that.
I do feel that like even in this episode, some of the fights were toned down to look a little bit more as of the era. Like there wasn't like a lot of crazy ninja moves. There wasn't like a bunch of crazy stuff. They were shot mostly close in. You know, even when Mei and Yo-Yo are fighting the android, that could have been a crazy battle out in the desert. And yet they kept it really confined to that little tower. And it was all shot tight and close in. And I think, I don't know, it felt like a little bit of an homage to the way you would shoot those kind of scenes at the time, except there was a lot more editing, you know, you typically, back then you didn't have a digital editor. You'd have to actually cut up film and
tape it together. Yep.
Yeah. Which, you know, but, the closeness of it, the tightness of it, I think that was intentional. I think there was what you're talking about expecting for the next episode. I think they were trying to do that a little bit in this episode too. You know, like a sock 'em on the jaw kind of.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
fish punches instead of a lot of high kicks and stuff like that.
Yeah. It seems like next week they're taking it to 11 though. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Right. Well, we will be back, of course, next week to discuss that episode, which is called Out of the Past. Until then, we're going to move over to Superhero Sweep and talk about some stuff over in that corner. Come with us, won't you?
Do you know who's out of the past? John Maltz.
I'll say.
you mean like literally, right?
He's fast enough for you, old man.
I don't even know what that joke is about. I just know it would get a. I just knew it would get a laugh, and I was like, "All right, let's go for it."
Sure.
What do you guys want to talk about?
Oh God. See. Okay. Do we need?
Do you want to clear the air first, or do you want to clear the air later?
Oh, man. Some of this stuff is going to be unpleasant.
Yeah, well, let's...
A downer. It's just a freaking downer, right?
Okay, here's the thing. We are about to talk about things that are unpleasant. And that may not make you, dear reader, happy. I believe Dandy put in chapter markers, right?
I generally do, yes.
So
although not often, oftentimes not within our different segments, so if you want to hear something else later in Superhero Sweep, you may just have to brazen this one out or just fast forward.
Yeah, or just stop listening.
But I think you should listen.
Fine.
Let me be clear.
You're not going to be informed.
I think this is important, and I think it's important.
I think it's important. That's why we want to talk about it. On the other hand, if you're like tapped out and feeling like the world is just assaulting you from every angle, including the dumbest podcast you listen to, you know, you can stop now. Otherwise, we're going to continue.
So the big story that we were going to focus on was that the actor Hartley Sawyer, who currently appeared on The Flash as Ralph Dibny, a.k.a. Elongated Man, has been fired due to some tweets that were uncovered. These tweets were from, I want to say, 2012 and 2014. And they are, let's not beat around the bush on this one, they're awful. He said some truly terrible things. In the best case scenario, you could, you know, argue that he was attempting and failing at being funny, but I think that that is pretty generous and does not excuse any of the really terrible misogynist, racist, violent things that he said. And you know, obviously we as watchers of that show, at least, you know, from time to time, I think we're all incredibly disappointed to see that. I don't think any of us would disagree that firing him was absolutely the right thing to do. That is the requisite consequences for that kind of behavior.
Yeah. It's disappointing. I mean, I generally enjoyed that character quite a bit.
I agree.
And I thought he did a good job in the role. I mean, we talked about this over text, but he had, you know, ironically been a character who had developed and turned, you know, turned from someone who was very cynical and kind of
self-centered
and turned into someone who cared about other people and was, you know, had a more positive outlook on the way people's lives should go. And, you know, to read some of this stuff is,
it's just, yeah, it's just awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like the idea of comedy police. I don't generally subscribe to that notion that, like, you know, sometimes you try a joke, it's not funny, and then it hurts people, and that sucks. You never want to hurt people, ever. This was not that. This was not a person making a joke that went south in a way. This was a person who, just reading these messages, you understood to have an underlying real and deep grievance problem. And they were couching it in the frame of a joke. And I think that's a hard distinction to make at times, because obviously, you know, communication is difficult between human beings. But, you know, reading these tweets, I really felt that way. I didn't necessarily feel that way about the director of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I mean, I got the impression that those were, when I read the difference between reading those two is I feel like, is it Peter Gunn?
James Gunn.
Peter Gunn
James was Gunn, a Peter classic Gunn's song. No, dun 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 dun.
Yeah. Right. James Gunn. Great song, by the way. Yeah.
Peter Gunn is funnier though. Yeah.
That he was acting as if it was somebody else saying it, like this is a crazy person. This is what a crazy person would say. Right. Whereas Hartley Sawyer was, look at this crazy idea that I just had.
Right. Like I feel like being deliberately provocative.
Yeah.
But in just like way over the line. Way, like there are ways to be deliberately provocative and still not delve into that, right? Like I think of things like I just suddenly blanked on his name. Classic
Peter Gunn.
Peter Gunn. It was Peter Gunn. Thank you so much. No, classic. Oh my god, I'm getting old, guys. I turned 40, and
welcome to the club, kid. Oh my god. Oh yeah, we feel so bad
from the past.
It's fine. I'm not stalling. I'm not stalling until I look it up, which I did. George Carlin was, of course, the name I was thinking of. George Carlin is, you know, at times, you know, there were things, his famous, like, seven, you know, the seven words you can't say on television, right? That was deliberately provocative, but it was deliberately provocative in a way to make a point, and it wasn't a point that was, I felt, actively trying to hurt people, right? It was a point of saying these words, which we view as obscenity, are arbitrary to a certain degree, you know, and we assign value to them. That was not what was happening with these tweets, right? Like, this was not somebody trying to challenge you to rethink your preconceptions of how things are structured. This was someone who was just saying awful things to see if he could get a rise out of people. And
That's the whole thing. There's the whole punching up, punching down kind of thing. And so if you look at the, if you read the Hollywood Reporter thing, I don't know, he says something about, I got to see boobs and not, whatever. That's boring. Who cares? But if you click through and you actually read his tweets.
Yeah. To be clear.
Do not do that.
Certainly don't want to repeat them here.
No, it is horrific. And there's George Carlin. George Carlin is brilliant, was brilliant. He used his scalpel and he cut out the exact piece that he wanted to cut out and he called it out. These tweets were just, give me attention.
Yeah.
And there's a huge difference between comedy being an effective way of calling out systemic injustice, calling out weird common behavior, calling out societal issues.
Calling it, it's the difference between calling it out and saying that it's funny.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, even the Seinfeld thing of like, can you believe this is a muffin? Whatever. It is essentially just calling something out as being like, this is a weird thing that we all accept, right?
Right.
And that is that there's value to that. There really, really is value to that. There is no value at all in the tweets that this guy sent. And in that way, and I really hate to be I don't want to police comedy at all, ever. This is not comedy. I'm sorry. It's not. It's not funny. It's just crappy things that you thought up and you decided to share with the world. Not the same thing.
Yeah. So, you know, he got fired. That was the right move.
Yes.
I think, you know, he did issue an apology, which is, it's good. I mean, I, you know, certainly hope he can continue to improve himself. But yeah, there should absolutely be, you know, consequences, and he suffered those. And I think that was a case of this is the right outcome for that. Kind of where I want to
go with
that.
I agree. Also, he was a secondary character, right?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
The show can go on. It's fine.
Yeah, like, and we don't
need Elastic Man.
Yes. Yeah. Even if it couldn't, you know, that's no reason to keep him around, certainly.
No. Right, yeah, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I mean, if Grant Gustin had said that, I would have the exact same reaction.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, he hasn't, and he seems like a nice guy. I just don't want to paint broadly with a brush.
Are we going to talk about Stephen Amell?
yeah, I mean, that's kind of a different situation. It's still
a much different situation.
It's still a troubling situation.
Yeah.
And I think, so this is a conclusion I've come to recently, and I think you guys will probably agree with this. I think the richer and more famous and more powerful you get, not only do you have a harder time admitting when you're wrong, but you also definitely get out of touch, right? Like, I think in most cases, there is a you get a bubble, right? Especially if you're a person, in this case also, who is, you know, a white man, you know, a white straight cis man in Hollywood, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that is the bubble of bubbles, right? Like, and you know, that's not to excuse anything. It's just, I think, an explanation of why they evince some of the things they do. And it, you know, hard to tell the draw the line
really,
sometimes
it's still,
between.
But it's still it still depends on like how you. I don't know. It depends on your personality. It depends on
yes,
who you are
and how you
and
handle
there
that.
There are people. I mean, like look at Chris Evans, and like Chris Evans was trending yesterday. I think it was, or today,
I couldn't figure out why either.
You know, it was just people loving Chris Evans. Somehow it's just like, isn't he awesome? And all of a sudden he's trending. But he's a guy who has managed to do pretty well.
So
right?
So far, anyways, let's, you know,
yeah.
Don't milkshake yeah. duck him while we're here.
Exactly.
No,
yeah, really.
No. Like, but, honestly,
I swear to God, he can't. Please do not.
Yes. Yeah. Man.
Chris, I'm sure you're listening. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris, buddy, we love you. And, yeah. you know, I know all of the Chris's listen to us, but Chris, you know which one we love the most. No, yeah, he seems like a legitimately good kind of guy.
Yeah.
I really feel that. The Samel thing, I don't know.
So it seems more ignorant rather than... I mean, he invited Grant Gustin to come on his podcast, right? And it was during all of the things that were going on, all the protests, and Grant Gustin said, you know what? I don't think this is the right time for me to be doing that.
Right.
And I listened to his response to that because he and I think a lot of people took it as sarcastic.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that that's necessarily the case.
I think it came off as a little flip more than anything.
Maybe.
Like
yeah,
just a little like.
Right. Right.
And it, like unconcerned maybe or just like.
Yeah.
Casual
yeah, yeah,
about
yeah.
it.
Right. But it also seems to, like, you know, reflect some of his other statements, which seem equally flip about some things. You know, certainly nothing like what Hartley Sawyer was tweeting, but he maybe seems slightly dismissive of people's concerns about things that he says.
Right,
sometimes.
Right. And I think that's the issue. This is kind of one reason I wanted to talk about it, because, you know, he's said some things in the past. He's apologized for them and then in some ways retracted some of those apologies. His wife, not to drag his family into this, but his wife has also made comments that, like, there are some seriously questionable issues.
Yeah.
And I think what got to me was, like, his response in particular to this black graphic novel writer, T. Franklin, who, you know, he kind of made this overture in some ways as though he was like, you know, hey, I'm sorry, you know, or like, you got me, like, you nailed me. If you want to, like, chat with me, I followed you, and we can, like, you can help me better understand, right? And, like, that's the thing right. that kind of rubbed me the wrong way is, and I think
yeah.
this is a
right.
this is a recurring, trope is not the right word, but this is a recurring problem with, you know, yeah. a lot of white people are like, hey, person of color, you know, yeah. or person of minority or person of sexuality that doesn't represent my sexuality, like, educate me, right? Like, and it's like,
yeah, offline preferably.
Yeah, right. Like, first of all, none of this is their responsibility. You are a grown up.
Yeah.
You are able to look these things up.
Yes.
You are a very successful person who has resources at their disposal, right? Like, this is not somebody else's responsibility. This is your responsibility as a result right. of the privilege that you have in this world. So starting that I think was the thing which I wanted to talk about a little bit today, because we just, you know, given all the things that are going on, and because I think, you know, we are three white guys on a podcast, and I would hazard a guess that many of the people listening to this show are also white guys. I don't have numbers to support that, but I think it's probably true. I think it's a good opportunity to encourage people to do their own work and do the reading and the Googling and the research and listening and all of that, rather than expecting somebody else to come along and spoon feed you, you know,
yeah.
how to be a better person.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. Shut the. I'm gonna edit that. So that doesn't
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Shut up. Shut up. Stop talking.
Shut up and
start
listen.
Listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And
that's really what I've wanted to say. I mean,
we talked about this elsewhere, and I know John and I on our tech show this week, we talked about this, but I would like to point everyone towards a really good conversation between Conan O'Brien and W. Kamau Bell, which is on YouTube, which is just really edifying. It's something worth watching. And our friend Lex Friedman recommended a video series with a former football player named Emmanuel Acho about uncomfortable conversations with a black man, which is also really good. And this most recent episode, it's him and Matthew McConaughey talking, and it is just something you it's like 15 minutes long, and you will watch it, and you will just like sit there for all 15 minutes and just be rapt. I think I got to be honest. I think it's really compelling stuff. So you know, do the work. Don't expect somebody else to do it for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Superheroes.
Yeah. They guess what? I don't want to bring anyone down. Superheroes aren't real. If they were,
they're not.
Maybe we wouldn't be in.
Exactly. Yeah, really.
No, we would. That is a nightmare world to live in, where we are at the whim of a superhero.
I just want a superhero who can, like, you know, cure a pandemic.
You want Superman.
No, I want one who can cure a pandemic. I want someone who's, like, really smart. You know, you want like your, I don't know, like your Reed Richards or something. I don't know.
Reed Richards, yeah.
Yeah,
Reed
you want somebody who's like, hey, I just happen to have a coronavirus vaccine that I've been working on, and it's pretty good to go. Like, I don't need Iron Man flying around or whatever.
I just watched a movie with Reed Richards, and he was up on a dance stage, and he extended his arms and grabbed two women and brought them closer.
All right, I don't want that Reed Richards, let's be clear.
That woman, is that the first or the second one?
It's the second one.
Okay, see, I haven't seen the second one.
Dear God.
And you're talking me out of it now. But yeah. the first one was very problematic in terms of its treatment of women.
Oh. Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, oh, you thought that
she's
was
naked. Here's the Invisible Woman naked.
Yeah, again, boobs. Yeah, we get it. Right. Women have boobs. We understand.
Anyway, I do on a related but perhaps more upbeat note, do want to mention that I've been continuing my way through Black Lightning, which I was well behind on, and I finished season two. And you know, it I think I mentioned last time, like, I had started season two and like just had watched a couple episodes and then had kind of fallen out there. And I think, you know, watching the rest of it in short order as I have over the last week or so, it made me realize one reason that I had slowed down on it was because I think it's a lot more, it's a lot more serial than most of the other CW superhero shows. Like, week to week, there's not really like a self-contained plot every week. It's more like S.H.I.E.L.D. where it's like, here's another chapter in the ongoing story, right? And I think I really, binging it feels much better to me than watching it week to week. It's just easier for me to like keep up with the story. And so I really enjoyed season two. I continue to, like, it's not a perfect show. There are some plot problems every once in a while where I think it just sort of like waves over things. I'm like, wait a second, didn't this thing happen? And sometimes they sort of take leaps.
Arrow was not a perfect show.
No, yes. No. Yeah, I'm not trying to suggest that it was. It's just like.
No, I know. I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm saying for our listeners, like, we watch lots of non-perfect shows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I will
even say. Even though the most recent two that we've been watching are pretty close to perfect.
Yes. But I will say I really enjoy the cast a lot on Black Lightning. And it does constantly. I just, you know, it is eye-opening for me. And I think good to watch a show where the cast is predominantly black, like, and not just like, oh, there are slightly more black actors than white actors, or like,
oh, yeah,
black. There's a representative black character, right? Like, no, the show is like 90% black.
Right.
And it's great.
It's on Netflix right now, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, it's all on Netflix.
In Canada, it's on Netflix.
And in US,
first two seasons.
Yeah, all of them, I think. All three of them, I believe, are on Netflix.
Oh, is three on there now?
Yep. In fact, unrelated, but when I turned it on this week, it was offering me the most recent season of Legends, too. So apparently that's already streaming on Netflix. Oh, wow. They do have fast turnaround on the CW shows. I know they had a deal at some point. So yeah, it's all on Netflix if you're in the US. So definitely, and definitely go check that out if you've been, you know, if you missed out on the season or you haven't watched it at all. It's really good. It's really good. There's a lot of really great performances and a lot of addressing of issues that I feel like on other shows are often things where it's given lip service. Like, you know, and this came back to sort of the Stephen Amell things. Like, I sent you guys the link and pointed out that in one of his subsequent tweets, he mentioned how he's been really focused on gun violence because you never see that in Canada. And I know, Guy, you had some feelings on that, but I wanted to add, you know, we joked a lot about Ollie solving the gun problem in Star City, which, of course, he doesn't, right? Like, that episode, you can go back and listen to the episode where we talk about it. But in the long run, I think that is an example of an episode that pays lip service to a extremely challenging concept.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. So
the reason I liked that episode was that they bothered to address it.
You get points for showing up, I guess.
Like the bare minimum that you could have done. And they met that minimum bar. I know John's like, that is ridiculous and stupid, and you guys should not have liked that episode.
I was not on that episode.
I know.
When we talked about it.
I know. I think
not out of protest. I think I was just, I was off someplace.
Yeah, you were off. I think it was James Thompson. I can't remember who we had.
Yeah, who did we
have? We had that one up in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, just to be clear, my enjoyment of that episode is largely because it was something that they chose to actually address. Did they do it well? No. I mean, come on. We've got a running joke about how poorly did they... There's like literally a sheet of paper that's like, oh yeah, this saves the gun problem. And that's it. Next episode, bunch of bad guys with guns.
back to guns.
Yes. I mean,
everybody's carrying guns
for
around.
Several seasons after that, there were people with lots of guns.
Yeah. Like, that did not work at all.
Which in and of itself is probably indicative of just how well most solutions for gun control actually end up working so far in our country.
It would have been hilarious if everybody in Star City incredibly became just a great archer.
Yeah. They were like 50% of the way there, honestly.
That would have been great. And they're all just carrying knives or whatever.
Yeah. Just,
but we solved the gun problem.
And archery.
It's extremely literal reading. Anyway, I hear what you're saying. I think that's, you know, just to go back to my original point, like, I think Black Lightning spends more time on more important things. And again, watching it now, as opposed to when it was written or when it aired, is even more resonant. Like, there is literally a scene in the episode. I don't want to harsh anyone's mellow, but hey, this is a thing that happens. Like, there's literally a scene in one of the most recent episodes I watched where the cops shoot and basically unarmed black man, and it causes a riot or a protest. I mean, in the show, it's probably more angled towards riots than the protests that we've actually seen. But again, very, very reflective of some of the stuff that we're clearly still dealing with. And it's the kind of thing where, you know, you watch that a year ago and you might have been tempted to think like, ah, this is so unrealistic or whatever. It's, guess what? It's not. These are all issues that we're really dealing with. And it's right. Very relevant.
I'm sorry. If you thought about that a year ago and you thought it was unrealistic, you were wrong.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying if you thought about a year ago and were thinking that that couldn't happen, then that's, you know, I, again, you've learned something, right?
Sorry, yeah, I don't mean to correct you. I just want to underscore your point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all.
Too often it's an out of sight, out of mind sort of thing for a lot of people, right? Where they like, oh, I don't see this happening, so it couldn't happen. Yeah.
Right.
I want to correct you, Guy. I'm not actually from the past. I'm from the future.
Oh, do you have anything to tell us? Please tell me things get better.
I can't say.
Oh, son of a.
Thanks for that completely useless admission.
What did you expect from me?
Better.
From you?
I expected better.
Just completely useless. Yeah.
The only other thing I wanted to mention, and I know you guys are both behind on it, but I have continued to watch Stargirl. this most...
I'm one episode behind.
You're
God.
Behind. Yeah, get up. I don't
know. I'm two episodes behind.
What are you possibly Jesus, doing Dad. With your time, John? I'm sorry. Did I interrupt your busy schedule of stacking MacBooks?
Somebody has to do it.
Anyways, I really didn't.
It pays ridiculously well, too.
When I signed up to do this show, I didn't understand it was going to be like 8 hours of work.
Yeah, there's homework, man.
Every week.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Just to say,
it feels funny every Wednesday or Thursday morning to say to my wife, I have to watch an episode of TV for a podcast.
Oh, yeah. I do the right. same thing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I have to do the
this
same thing. I'm
work.
Like, yeah. I've started telling people, like, I've got a meeting.
I mean, it kind of is.
That sounds way better.
Yeah. I got to meet with my friends, Phil and Daisy. Yeah. Anyways. Stargirl, this week's episode, is a delight, and I think my favorite episode so far, and gives you a great idea of where this show is going and feels the most... this is what I'm going to say. That episode alone felt like the most MCU episode of a DC comic book show I have seen, period.
Wow.
So, okay. I felt like they did a great job of capturing a tone that has been sorely lacking from a lot of the other shows. So,
jeez, okay.
Reader,
I'm going to watch it.
I recommend
it. I'll do it this afternoon.
Go to your room and watch Stargirl.
And watch some TV.
Anyways, that's all I had for my superhero sweep stuff. But if you guys want to add anything else, please chime in.
I've only been rewatching stuff that we've already talked about. So,
okay, that's fine. That's fine.
But I'll just say that Thor Ragnarok is a really good movie.
That is a really good movie.
Do you know what? I watched the last 20 minutes of Ragnarok 3 days ago. I don't know why it came up. And I was like, you know what? I've got that movie. Let's watch it. And it is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have an ongoing thing where I'm cycling back through the Marvel movies again, and I just finished Thor Ragnarok and started up Black Panther, which I had actually like not in my normal viewing schedule of them in order. I had actually watched like a few months ago just separately, and so I was like kind of like, oh, geez, I just saw this like a few months ago. Do I really want to watch it again? And then I was like, okay, I'll start it again. And then I remembered Shuri calling him colonizer. And I thought, oh, that's a delight. I can't wait to get to that part.
Yeah.
I'm amused to no end that you're like, I can't watch an hour of television, but I have time to watch all the Marvel movies.
Well, I do it. See, the thing is, I do it while cooking.
Okay. Okay.
So same. It's like, I don't, it's on in the background and I'm not paying any attention to it. So, for this show, though, I have to pay very serious and close attention because that's our promise to our readers.
That's true. I do want to. Can I throw out a really quick breaking news thing that's related?
Yeah, sure.
So as we're recording this, Sony is doing a PS5 event.
I did see that,
and they just apparently announced a Spider-Man Miles Morales game.
Yeah.
Oh, which that's looks great.
Yep.
I haven't watched the trailer yet. I just see like the thumbnail. But the Spider-Man game that they did before, I think it's the same studio, Insomniac. Are they the ones who did the Spider-Man game? Yeah. I saw that was the one game that made me being like, I should go buy a PS4.
I did. I went and bought a PS4 bundled with Spider-Man, and it's red with a Spider-Man logo on it.
Oh,
I am a 45-year-old man. With a Spider-Man logo.
You're the target demographic.
I need to hide it. I need to hide it somewhere because I'm like,
send it to me. I'll hide it for you.
Yeah.
Ship it down here. I'll take care of that.
I'm playing Uncharted again. So maybe at some point. But yeah, honestly, that's amazing. By the way, Anthony Johnson, renowned writer, renowned creator in general. Did the logo artwork for our podcast.
That's true. That we can talk about.
Yeah. This is the guy that wrote Atomic Blonde.
Yeah, he's slumming it down here with us.
He made the artwork for this stupid podcast.
If you can believe that.
I can't believe it. That guy's an ace. He's a very, very kind man.
Yeah, he's a nice, nice fellow. He's too nice, really, for his own good. Yeah, gotta be honest.
Well, yeah, too nice to us, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, I think we've reached the end of this week's episode. It's been real.
Right. And as someone who came from the future, I know that you're right.
Oh, well, it's nice to have confirmation. So often in my life,
this is indeed the end.
So much of my life, I wander around thinking, is this podcast episode over yet? I just don't know.
It's a quandary. We had it this week on the rebound. We didn't know when we were over.
That's true. Oh, yes, that's true. But I would like to thank everybody out there for reading along with us, sticking with the show, hopefully doing the good work, fighting the good fight. And I especially, of course, would like to thank my colleagues as we zephyr off to wherever we're going next. Guy English, thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks, man. It's really always fun. John, I hope you keep up that I'm from the future gag going every episode. I think that's a great running joke, and you should jog along with that every time. Yeah. Black Lives Matter. Happy Pride. Love you all.
John Maltz, or as we call you around these parts, time traveling dad. Twist!
There we go. It was right on the table.
Twist!
I would like to tell you what next week's episode is all about, but I don't want to mess with the temporal prime directive. We didn't get a Star Trek reference in.
Oh, well done.
Oh, we did not, but you did.
It saved us. You came from the future to save us.
That's right.
Just not in any way that really matters.
I've come back to save this episode, and next week you'll get regular time, John Maltz.
Okay, that's fine. We're okay with it. Always a pleasure, John.
Me too.
And thank you all out there again for supporting the show. We really appreciate it. We hope you're doing well, and we will see you next week.